right, sounds like we got Miss Susie Q on the line, joining us from the Tucson Festival of Books out there on site in our Rosie on the House Anderson Ford Promotional Transit. Our goal is to have it somewhere on site, somewhere throughout the state of Arizona on any given weekend. Sounds like quite a crowd already.
Yeah, the festival opened officially at 9:30, but there have been people here all morning. So it's going on through 5:30 today, and it's also tomorrow, 9:30 to 5:30. Our booth, we're at 419. We are on University and Cherry on the south side facing the U of A library.
And you've got a special guest here there with you right now in the booth?
Yes, I'm here with Chris Kopek. He is the operations facilities manager for the university, assistant operations manager for the facility of University of Arizona, and he's on the steering committee for the Festival of Books.
And it's important to note that the Festival of Books is at the U of A campus, because there's not a lot of other places in Tucson, if any, other than the Civic Center, that could accommodate the needs of the hundreds of thousands of people you expect through this weekend.
Well, I'll tell you, we got 150,000 people we're expecting here over the next 2 days.
Wow.
And so as our assistant vice president of facilities at the University of Arizona and co-chair of our operations, it just takes a great committee that works literally. After this one is done, we will have the group getting together and getting ready for the next one in 2020. And so for our authors, our exhibitors, we have 400 authors here, over 17 stages set up, entertainment throughout the 2 days. And if you're hungry, you can come here and get some tri-tip over at Blue Banjo and other great vendors that we have.
Wonderful. And it's probably hard to isolate one favorite author or one favorite book, but do you have a couple highlight authors or books for us that are being previewed this weekend?
I'll tell you, as busy as we get, I think I've been to a one author setting through my 11 years here, but we got great authors here. We got Ed Asner here. He was at our dinner last night, the big kickoff, along with a bunch of other great authors who, you name it, we have the different type of venues here. Something for everyone.
A lot of kids events as well. It's designed to be a family event.
Yeah, we're actually near the family area, so we are just west of the circus area and the big teen and children's activity. And speaking of Ed Asner, I'm really geeked out to go see his talk, and I mentioned it to my promotions partner in crime, Lance, and they said, Ed Asner's coming, and he didn't know who that was until I said Mr. Fredrickson from Up. Although I know him from being Lou Grant.
Of course. Yeah. I was Lou Grant, for crying out loud.
And that's how I remember him, too. So, but he was great enough also.
Well, that's going on today and tomorrow. How late are y'all open?
You know, we're going to be open until 9:30 to 5:30, both days.
And plenty of accommodations, plenty of events, plenty of venues. Is there a cost to park? Is there a cost to attend?
There's no cost to park at all. No cost to attend event. The garage is round, only costs $5. There's perimeter parking that's free. And again, like I said, there's about 150,000 people will show up over the next 2 days. Weather down in Tucson is just beautiful. It's supposed to be in the upper 70s. No rain forecasted. You can already smell the cinnamon nuts on the corner here, along with the dog. So we're looking forward to just a great, great event. We sure appreciate Rosie and everybody taking time to talk to us.
Well, it's our pleasure, and this is one we had actually had kind of on our radar for a couple of years, just because Rosie's love of books and love of reading. He got all the family. He taught us all to be lovers to read, and y'all have a good system in that you only allow authors to show up, and we could never get our columns that we write for the paper approved, but y'all approved our home maintenance calendar that we put together, so we were glad that we finally met the credentials to be part of your event.
Yeah, you know, Romy, we're also right next to Arizona Highways, and we have state park passes, so folks can come up to booth, ask for a state park pass and a calendar.
Well, Jennifer wouldn't let me go this year. She said, look, you can't go back to Tucson Festival of Books until you read half the books you bought last year.
Don't feel Rosie. I haven't read mine either.
We came home with a couple armloads, that's for sure.
Well, I'll tell you, we are right across from the Western Park exhibit. It's one of our largest ones here, and there's probably about eight different tents in that area. So it's just really highlighting the great things here in Arizona.
Wonderful. Well, Chris Kopech, thanks for taking a few minutes to share your event with our listeners today. And you've got plenty of time, no matter where in the great state of Arizona you're listening to get down there today. It's only 9:40. There's nowhere in the state that in this listening reach you couldn't be there by 1 or 2 o'clock and have a couple hours. You could even stay or plan to attend tomorrow. If your nightstand is missing a reading book, they can help you.
Or gifts. I mean, it's great for gifts.
I'll have to say, too, when you're looking at authors from Tracy Smiles to Hampton Sides, Jeffrey Seeger, I mean, the list goes on and on. Come down here. You'll find somebody you'll love listening to. And get your book signed.
And I think Rosie will appreciate this. Ask Ed Asner about the Cajun sage that he played in a movie called Christmas on the Bayou. It was a Lifetime Christmas movie.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, I'll track him down. I'll run him down. Ed.
He'll be up in our North Ballroom at 1 o'clock this afternoon.
All right. Well, Lance, you cover for Susan while she goes and checks that out.
That is a fantastic event.
Well, let's get back to our callers, and we do have our weekly home maintenance how-to we'll cover as well, but we want to see how we can help Rick and Mesa first at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Rick?
Yes, Rosie, I'd be glad when you get your voice back because you and Romy sound the same, but I sound like him lately. So I do appreciate that when you get your voice back. Anyway, I stuck on my house 2 years ago, and I know that this winter we had a cold winter, but I noticed that the house is colder than when I had just a siding on there. Is that normal?
Well, your home is a framed home that was wood sided.
It's a manufactured home, Rosie.
Oh, okay. And so when you plastered it, did you stretch the lath right over the siding, or did you put like 1 inch urethane foam on first?
Yes, sir. The foam. I had it done. Yeah, they put the foam, the paper, the foam, and then the chicken wire, and then the texture, huh?
Well, it sounds like they did it right. And that is going to give you some thermal stability. Whether it's going to make it cooler in the summer as well, but it probably will make it a little bit cooler. It ought to make whatever you're trying to do inside much more consistent than it was prior to you installing the Western One Coat.
Oh, I see. Okay, Romy. Then I mean, Rosie. Thank you for your help on that.
Okay. Yeah, you ought to. Did you when they did that? Did you have the opportunity to upgrade the windows as well?
Yes, sir. Before I moved in, they put the dual pane windows. Oh, you're all new windows all the way around.
Oh, yeah. And what vintage is your manufactured home?
You mean the year?
Yeah.
It's like a 90.
Okay. Well, with the new efficient windows and the Western One Coat insulating outsolation stucco, you're going to be in good shape.
Okay. And I do have solar screens all the way around the house, too.
Oh, so. Yeah. Your home will be considerably more comfortable than it was.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Rick, thank you. I'm anxious for my voice to come back, too.
So Joe called.
Joe.
Just one of your listeners. And he said, Jennifer, is that your husband on the air? I said, yes, that's Rosie. He said, well, I couldn't recognize him, but he sounded, like the right kind of information. So, yes, this is Rosie back on the radio. And, no, you do not sound like Romy.
No, I think he was teasing.
Good.
I thought for a minute he called you homie.
He did at the end.
What's up, homie?
I got that a lot in high school.
I'm Jennifer's first husband.
One and only, baby.
And when it comes to manufactured homes, I know this home has already been stuccoed in that case, but a lot of people do look for siding alternatives, and I always try and direct them away from stucco. I'm much more of a fan of a longer-term solution that doesn't require having to repaint and repaint. There are so many different varieties of brick veneers that you can put on the exterior of that. That's going to add a little bit more structural support to it. You could brick veneer all the way to the top and make it look like it was a home that was completely built in brick, or you can do it halfway and do the ranch style look. That's a really, really good traditional Arizona look. So for anyone else listening that might be in a manufactured home that's looking for something other
than
just your T111 siding, before you go stucco, spend some time at a Marvell, spend some time at any of the Old Castle plant, and just look at the options that they have in the veneer siding, because you don't even have to stick to one siding for the entire parameter. A lot of times you've got built-in columns. You could do that in a different masonry than the sheet siding, and there's some really handsome looks that you can accomplish out there that would not create something that you have to paint and maintain and repair cracks and caulk and get elastomeric over, you know, the next 20, 30, 40 years. You could do a brick siding and be done for that entire time.
Absolutely. And I was in the stucco business for, the whole time I was in college, which was a long time. I thought I'd never get out. But I avoid stucco at every chance I get. It's great for what it is, but it is what it is.
And if it's going onto a structural masonry wall, it's a lot better than if you're trying to apply it to a wall that was framed with wood that warps and cracks and twists, that you've got, you know, foam and chicken wire. Putting it onto a masonry surface has a lot longer life on it. But anyway.